Hello and welcome to the Functional Spirituality Podcast. My name is Ava, your host, and today I want to speak to a piece of work that's very, very important to me. A journey that started for me about 10 years ago. So maybe about 15 years ago, I got really deep into my yoga practice, where I was practicing every day. But it was a few years later that my therapeutic embodiment journey started. And as I think back, really, to where this journey started, I think the first time this knowledge really fascinated me and kind of moved me so deeply and took me by surprise was an ecstatic dance experience. And actually, it was my very first ecstatic dance experience. For those of you who are not familiar, ecstatic dance is a kind of modality where, usually with live music or like a DJ, you're taken on a dance or music journey where you are invited to move your body any way that you like. And it can be quite cathartic. It's an inward journey. And even though it's done in a group of people, you're not really interacting with the group. It's like a personal journey and without any drugs or alcohol. So it's can be a quite new experience for people who normally dance, you know, under the influence of some substances when they're with a group of people. And thinking back right now, I kind of remember not enjoying it, being like, what is this? This music is weird and things like that. But at a certain point, it kind of evolving, I think it was like well over an hour, and it evolved into a peak experience for me. And yeah, that's where I think that this journey really started for me. And after that, I then sought further experiences and knowledge because it was so fascinating. A peak experience, right? So something I'd never felt before, an altered state of consciousness, a state of kind of connection and presence with my body, the moment, the energy, thoughtless, that I had never felt before. So fast forward, you know, 10 years later, now we have an annual training that I run, the therapeutic embodiment training. And last year we had it sold out with 15 people, and many shared that it was a journey like they had never experienced before. So again, the experiences and knowledge kind of blew their minds, you know, which is almost crazy for me to think because it's something that I've gradually built up. And they experienced a huge transformation through the process. So today I want to share about what is therapeutic embodiment? What does the term mean? And yeah, it's one of those things that has just gradually built up as a body of work and refined into a very special, unique experience. That it's something I've become so intimate with that sometimes I forget that it's a term that actually needs to be explained. So therapeutic embodiment is a healing modality. So what does a healing modality mean? Healing, specifically referring to part one of the functional spirituality method. So healing specifically for the resolving of complex trauma and chronic stress, so the kind that builds up inside and can accumulate inside of our nervous system and affect our capacity. So one of the most widespread conditions. For some people, you know, I would say that every single person on the planet has chronic stress, but it's really just to what degree is it affecting the functioning of the nervous system? To what degree is it impacting the overall health of the system? Complex trauma, what does that mean? The definition for me of trauma is anything that reduces or diminishes your capacity to be present, creative. So what is capacity? Remember that your nervous system is a processing machine. That's what your nervous system does. There is an input of material, it's processed, and then it reacts or an action is taken. So it's like a cause and effect machine. You're continuously processing your experience. That's what a nervous system is, a processing machine, processing computer, whatever you want to, whichever way you want to think about it. So we have a certain capacity to process. We have a certain amount of space or room in which to receive a certain amount of material. In any time, there's only a certain amount of material that we can process. That's our system's capacity. And when we face challenges, which is sometimes called stress, if we can fully process that stress, the stress gets completed and the system benefits from that challenge. It grows and adapts, it gets its need met, it gains experience, and it increases its capacity. And every time we experience stress or challenge, and it could be to any degree, so, you know, it's totally subjective to what is experienced as a big challenge or not. Whenever we experience a challenge or a stress, so a stress is anytime our biological preferences are threatened. So even when we're hungry, so that's a preference we have to be, you know, to have the right amount of food. If we're hungry or cold, or we need connection, or we need anything that is a biological preference or need, safety, if that gets threatened in any way, our system experiences stress, and that stress is good. It motivates us to behave, to move, to act in a way to get that need met or to protect ourselves from that threatening of that preference. So stress and challenge are good. Chronic stress and or toxic stress, bad stress, is when the challenge is beyond our capacity for whatever reason, because it's too intense, too quick, too much, too long, right? So it's happening too much and too persistent. For any reason it's beyond our capacity, then that is what I would call trauma, because whatever the amount of that stress that is beyond the capacity to be processed remains in the system unprocessed. So the sensory information, the perception, the experience, the part of that material of the experience that isn't able to be processed gets left behind and accumulates in our system. And we might just call it unresolved or uncompleted material, unprocessed material. So trauma is anything that is diminishing that capacity, any material, any circumstance, or any experience we've had where we weren't able to process it fully. And complex trauma is this kind of syndrome, or really a fact of life at our time and where we live. It's complex trauma describes that we have a lot of these traumas, little and big traumas, that are accumulating in our system from not necessarily one big solvable event, but from so many factors due to the way that our society is set up. If I'm summarizing a very complex topic very quickly, it's basically due to that. So what is a healing modality? A healing modality is anything that helps us to meet ourselves, to meet our nervous system. That's what ourself is, a nervous system. Our individual person is a nervous system. A healing modality is anything that helps us to meet ourselves in a way that facilitates the processing, the completion, the digestion, the resolving of chronic stress and complex trauma that has accumulated inside of our system that's affecting our capacity. And there are two ways that healing modalities work. So I like to think about them in bottom-up and top-down ways, meaning that a healing modality can help us meet our nervous system either bottom-up, which would be more through the body, or top-down, which would be more through the mind. And there are bottom-up and top-down tools, the ways of approaching our nervous system kind of more in through the doorway of either the body or through reflection. So we're thinking about the body, We're thinking about movement, breath, sound, relaxation. We're thinking about the tissues, the fascia. We're thinking about imagining the rest and regenerate mode, that kind of mode that we sink into or experience that we have. Think about when you slip into a warm or a hot bath, or you enter into a sauna, something usually warm, or when you lay on your back in a really comfortable bed and you are able to sink in and you take that big breath in and that big sigh out and you feel something kind of drop. You move from the surface down into more relaxation. So yeah, thinking about that sighing. So when we're thinking about the body, we're thinking about how do we enter into the body and enter into the body's that physical embodied sense of moving from trying to defend and act and move forward to getting that preference met into the feeling of I've done my work. I've completed my work. My preferences have been met. I've done enough. And now I can slip into my body's regenerate, rest, completion, defrag, digestion mode. That's the body's approach. It's very much connecting to subtle sensations. And when we connect to subtle sensations of the body, so connecting to the breath, you know, a body scan, relaxation, restorative postures, gentle movement. When you connect to subtle sensations, it's like a hack for your biology. It starts to trigger a sense of safety because there's no way that you would turn and tune your attention inward to subtle sensations like breath and tissues and different body parts. There's no way your attention would tune into that if you were in danger or if you were needing to act or if you're needing to be quick or you're needing to respond. If you were needing to act or defend or seek an opportunity and fulfill something, your attention would move up and out into the environment. So having your attention move in and down into the body and the subtle aspects of your inner space is something that triggers safety and triggers that digestion regeneration mode. And also when you feel safe, it's like a spiral there that feeds into itself. When you feel safe, you can then be better equipped to feel subtle sensations. So they kind of feed into each other. So bottom-up healing modalities incorporate these elements, also sensuality, the joy of stretching, the joy of breathing. So feeling pleasure and intimacy inside of your own body. Again, trigger safety, and also safety helps us to feel those things. Top-down healing modalities are ones that help us to focus and investigate and inquire using the mind. So using thoughts, using the linear laser of thinking that helps us to focus on parts of our nervous system, using language and words. So top-down mind-based healing modalities are very much about bringing self-awareness, bringing self-reflection, inquiry, discovery, investigation. And because it's the mind, you know, it also requires, it's a practice, it requires focus, just like the body stuff also requires a practice and developing the skills there. And because of our mind, right, like the way that it moves around so much, we need focus for the top-down approaches to work. It's really great to have a guided practice. We can link the guided self-reflection practice in the show notes here so you can have some support with that. But also any of the meditations on the podcast can be really helpful to do the top-down approaches because they're mostly guiding your mind into the work. And the top-down approaches are about becoming self-aware. So seeing the material and meeting yourself, but more with the words. How do you resolve? How do you complete? How do you digest the material of the thoughts? It's through the self-awareness, through the reflection process, you unpack, you see, you listen, you care, and you allow that material to have a new perspective, to reframe, is really the best way that I can describe what happens in a top-down healing modality. You know, we want to consider that our nervous system has both, right? It has a wordless and a word-based component to it. So it is the same nervous system. Your mind and your body are the nervous system. They're the same one person. These are just kind of different doorways of going in and meeting that material inside. And therapeutic embodiment, the most important thing that I could say about it is that it's a modality that recognizes the complexity of the nervous system. So our nervous system is the most complex thing known to man. It's the most sophisticated thing that nature has ever created that we know about. So our nervous system is so complex. And in the old paradigm of healing, what happens is that we try to manualize the nervous system in order to heal chronic stress and complex trauma. The way we manualize the rest of the body's anatomy in order to do healing, but it's a totally different order of healing. We're not talking about acute stress or acute disorders. We're talking about something that is complex and material that is held in the nervous system in such a unique way. There's no way of manualizing it because every nervous system is individual. Every context in which anyone has experienced their challenge is unique and individual, and every challenge that's faced is unique and individual. We try to manualize healing stress and healing modalities, right? Because most of the healing modalities we know about, the ones that we talk about, right, in our industry and in our work and in spirituality and in personal development, we're usually talking about the suffering, right? The discomfort that we feel in our emotions and in our mind, this biological experience of suffering, actually. And it's happening inside of the nervous system. It's incredibly complex. And because of so many factors that lead to that old paradigm, we try to, you know, put it into a box and make rules about it. So therapeutic embodiment, it's a trauma-informed approach in a kind of new and functional way, which means that it's emphasizes much more listening and attunement, honoring the complexity, not having a set of rules of what every presentation, every experience, every thought, you know, what they mean. So rather than having rules, having more of an attunement and a presence and a sensitivity to our own system so we can kind of be attuned to what's happening in the situation in another person and inside of ourselves as well. Our kind of mainstream approach, our most common approach, is to kind of like, yeah, put these rules, you know. So if you dream about butterflies, it means you've got an abandonment issue. Or if you have a digestive issue, it means that you struggle with money. And if you're having this thought, it means that. Those are some of the rules, but also rules even in terms of being trauma-informed. You're never allowed to touch a person with if they don't ask. Or, you know, I'm not saying that you should be touching people without consent, but these kinds of rules that tell us how we're going to be safe and how to heal. There's a lot more to be said about that, but let me just go back to therapeutic embodiment. So this modality is a modality. It can be done in so many different settings, a group setting, a one-to-one setting for yourself or with others. It can be mixed with other modalities like ecstatic dance or a yoga class or a therapy session or any other kind of practice that you might leave, whether it's like a voice session or a breath work session, or you teach something, teachers, parents, like it can be combined with any other approach. But what it includes is a mix of gentle movements of the body. So something, it could even just be lifting and lowering the chin, or it could be like a yin yoga session, or it could be a dance. So it needs to incorporate some slow, gentle movement. And also a very special kind of inquiry that starts to trigger the body's inherent completion process. So a special way of connecting that triggers safety, and a special kind of inquiry that also allows that material to process and to complete. Like I said, it's based on recognizing the nervous system is complex. So it's about tuning into that complexity and trusting that if you create the right environment, if you create a regenerative, healing environment, the nervous system will do its regenerative processing, digestion process. It has a mechanism for digestion and processing. It has a defrag. The nervous system wants to complete itself. It doesn't want unnecessary stress living and accumulating inside of it, but it needs some help to both create the environment or the conditions that will facilitate that mechanism, and also then using that modality, the top-down and bottom-up tool, in the simplest way to start to facilitate that completion process. So there are so many approaches that we can take that are more complicated and more interesting and more, you know, exciting and artful and shiny. And I'm not against any of those. Those can be really great. But therapeutic embodiment at its heart, it's really a model of what's the simplest way of triggering the body's inherent completion and digestion mechanism and really getting good at that. So you have that, and then you can incorporate it into any other spaces that you partake in or spaces that maybe you hold as a facilitator. Where very often we do that second step. We participate in spaces or we facilitate spaces that are about more kind of complex modalities without having this foundation at its heart, which is just so important. It's not just a philosophy, an idea that I've come up with. It's come out of my own experience of partaking in so many healing modalities and facilitating so many healing modalities. So being on the giving and receiving end of healing for years, for over a decade, and ending up in burnout, ending up with a totally fried nervous system, that I'm still gently unpacking some of that material that was never addressed. It is so possible and highly likely that the healing modality that you're using isn't necessarily healing the root of that complex stress, complex trauma, that capacity issue that we have, the health of the nervous system. Even in nervous system modalities, it's just become a buzzword without necessarily addressing what's really going on there. So finally, what is the therapeutic embodiment training? So this is an annual training that I run. It's the only training I run that's 100% online with me and held in a really intimate container where we go on a journey for either 6 or 8 months. So you could do the journey as a personal development journey. And that means that you don't have to do assessments and assignments, and it also excludes like the kind of business modules related to being a facilitator and running this as a your own practice to hold space for others. So the personal journey includes, you know, doing therapeutic embodiment sessions every month live in the group, twice a month, as well as learning about exactly how it works. So having a theoretical understanding is actually really key for doing the practices really well. So it's for people who want to get really good at these tools and establish healing as a part of their lifestyle. So it becomes part of how they live at home and what they do at home. And then there's the facilitator training, which is a little bit longer and incorporates those extra modules, like I mentioned, and both of them include a lot of one-to-one support and mentoring from me because of my capacity that I've been able to increase so much. I have so much time and love and care and space for holding healing spaces, both for our group and also in the one-to-one spaces as well. So if that's anything that you're interested in, definitely reach out to us. Love to hear from you. Of course, how the podcast has landed for you. But also if you're interested, then of course, let us know and we can send you more information. And hopefully this has inspired you to pick up or come back into your own therapeutic embodiment practice. Maybe you remember what this feels like, and this may have provided a little bit more inspiration and clarity. You know, theory and really clear information is inherently motivating. It kind of clarifies our path. And you can also check our website for other free trainings and free workshops that we have that go into a little bit more detail, or connect with us if you have any questions about what next steps could be as well, in both free and paid options that we have for our programs. Thank you so much for listening, and you'll hear from me soon. Thank you for tuning in to the Functional Spirituality Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe by pressing the plus button on iTunes or the following button on Spotify. This is going to ensure that this resource is available and top of mind when you most need it. So please subscribe now.